Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. My guest today is Larry Pinkney. It's great to have Larry back. Larry, there is no question what the top story of the day is, and we certainly want to discuss the grand jury decision in Ferguson and what it means and the reaction of the people, the justifiable anger. I don't believe in destroying and messing things up too badly. I believe in nonviolent intervention, but the anger on the streets in Ferguson is absolutely palpable and justified. The outrageous grand jury decision, essentially a sanctifying cold-blooded murder. It's okay, giving killer cops an incentive, or at least a reason or a pass, to go out and kill again with impunity, knowing they can do it anytime they want, and grand juries, if they ever convene, will just rubber stamp their cold-blooded murder. That's what's going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what's going on, my brother. And you summed it up in the nutshell. If I may, let me know when I can. I'd like to just address what you said.
Let me just mention one thing, and then you jump in and do that exactly. As soon as I heard the verdict, I knew I had to write about it, and I put out an article this morning. I played with the title for a while, whether to give it a Ferguson, Missouri title or a more all-inclusive title. I went with a more all-inclusive one, and I called it Systemic Injustice in America, because what went on in Ferguson is just a microcosm of what goes on in America. Dare I say, Larry, it could be every single day of the week. It certainly happens on a regular basis. I mean, there are young black kids and Latino kids murdered by the police over and over again in big cities, small towns, urban areas, rural areas. And the stuff never gets reported or really gets reported in the media, except when you have a situation like Ferguson. Now we have the Ohio situation. There have been some other scattered ones where the outrage is very, very great, and the media simply can't ignore it. But they want it to go away as soon as possible.
Right. They do want it to go away as soon as possible. And, Stephen, I'm very glad that you decided to go with the all-inclusive title because, you know, the whole militarized nature, the militarized actions by the U.S. police inside this nation, whether it's in Ferguson, Missouri, or whether it's Cleveland, Ohio, whether it's New York, whether it's Oakland, whether it's San Diego, anywhere and everywhere throughout the United States, whether it's in any of those places, these militarized actions and these actions in general by the police are a direct, and I repeat, are a direct reflection of the very same U.S. policies of invasion, occupation, assassination, perpetual war and perpetual media lies as they specifically relate to other countries, as they're carried out against by the U.S. against other countries. What we're seeing in our nation is a reflection internally and externally of what the U.S. policies are being carried out or perpetuated, if you will, throughout Mother Earth. You know, whether we're talking about Afghanistan, Iraq, Ukraine, Palestine, Syria, Libya, Somalia, and an endless list that really won't be missed. All right. We have to make that correlation. We have to understand that we are not insulated. You know, we don't have a democracy in the U.S. This system is not about democracy. It's about hypocrisy. It's an utter sham of democracy. What we really have is we have a 21st century form of U.S. fascism, both internally as well as externally. And for that matter, drone man, kill list, Barack Obama and his Democrat and Republican minions are actually fostering this systemic and structural deadly sham. It's a sham. It's 21st century fascism, and systemically it is being fostered and perpetuated against all everyday people, all the people, be we black, white, brown, red, or yellow, and it's being carried out against us in this nation and, quite frankly, throughout Mother Earth. So I'm urging people to you know, make the connection, make the link. It's not just Ferguson. It's not just Cleveland, Ohio. It's not just New York. It's not just some place in the United States. It is the policy being perpetuated by our, and I put that word our in heavy quotation marks, our own government, as Dr. Martin Luther King described correctly, this government as the greatest purveyor of violence in the world. So how can we be shocked or shocked? Angry, yes, but surprised or shocked by no means. This is a direct correlation to the external policies of this government.
Larry, there's no question everything you said is true, and I must say that I was appalled by Obama's comments about the grand jury verdict and, you know, talking about keep the peace, react nonviolently. People have a right to protest, but nobody has a right to do it violently. Well, you can't disagree with that, but basically whitewashing, saying nothing about the outrageous grand jury decision, whitewashing cold-blooded murder, and that's exactly what he should have said, something to that effect. I understand that politicians need to couch their words very carefully, but this case was so clear and simple, where a cop attacks a young black kid who was unarmed. He threatened nobody. He didn't do the things that the police in Ferguson said he did, try to get a gun away from police officer Darren Wilson, he did nothing of the kind. He was a good distance away, far enough away, so that the bullets, so he had no powder burn on his body, not in his arms, his legs, his body. I don't know how many feet exactly he was away, but he certainly wasn't within grabbing distance of the officer's gun. He was just gunned down in cold blood for no reason at all. Six bullets pumped into him. A young kid, again, threatening nobody. So obvious, and Obama needed to say something about that. We'll see what goes on in Ferguson. I imagine there's going to be a lot more trouble ahead, Larry.
I think so, and I think it won't just be limited to Ferguson. I think we're going to see this all over the country. Again, I go back, my brother, to the point you mentioned, you know, six bullets in his body. Think about Fallujah, okay? Think about the U.S. troops have been trained, and I repeat, have been trained to do to people in Afghanistan. Think about, I mean, you know, as Brother Malcolm X said, the chickens are coming home to roost. And we have to make that connection. We have to understand. I mean, you know what? Even if, and I say even if, any of what the prosecution, or not the prosecution, but really, as you put it very, very clearly and succinctly, I'll call it the white washers or black washers or whatever washers. They're washing the truth away. One has to, they're washing it away, all right? One has to say, six bullets? I mean, six bullets? Come on, people. This is utterly insane. But this is what we do to people outside of the United States. And it's time for, as well as inside. So it's time for people, you know, to wake the hell up and understand, again, as Malcolm said, it's the chickens coming home to roost. I am sad, and it pains me when any human life is lost, okay? But, you know, here we have war criminal, war mongering, double speaking, kill list, drone man addressing the nation and really the world, because the entire world is looking at this. You know, who is he to stand up and to address the nation and world about something that he himself engages in on a regular basis? And what is that something? Murder. Murder and lies. Perpetual lies. Assassinations with his own special kill list. So how can we expect the militarized police of this country, of this nation, to be any different? We can't. We can't. We need total systemic change. We need, you know, back in the day when I was in the original Black Panther Party. I remember very well how we called the young brother Little Bobby Hutton, who was 16. He was literally gunned down with his hands up in the air by the police. We said then, in the 60s and 70s, we said, look, the police are an occupying force. They are not protecting or serving anyone. They are an occupying force at the behest of maintaining the power elite, i.e. the status quo of this system. It's coming home to roost. Here we are in 2014, and it's continuing. The good thing, if there is indeed anything that can be called good, the positive thing about this is that at least people across the board, across all lines now, are beginning to wake up and see this. They understand, or certainly are beginning to understand, that contrary to what the vomit stream, corporate stream media is trying to put across, contrary to that, to their narrative, it is not a quote-unquote black-white issue. It is a concern that affects every single one of us, regardless of our color. You know, and this is what I hope that people, more and more people, an increasing amount of people in this nation will see, in addition to linking what is occurring here. It's not occurring by osmosis. This is systemic. It's structural and systemic. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that this system needs to be changed.
Larry, it certainly does. And the underlying issue is a justice issue. It affects blacks and Latinos, mainly people of color. It affects Muslims in America. A phrase I like to use is Muslims in America at the wrong time, although they've never been treated very well. Post 9/11, they've been terribly abused, extremely abused. But blacks and Latinos have been abused for generations. My goodness, black people in America for centuries. Just an outrageous situation. And this stuff goes on. And one of Obama's comments last night was the fact that we've made so much progress in human rights in the country and race relations and so on. What a bunch of rubbish, absolute rubbish. I mean, Jim Crow thrives in America. May not have the name Jim Crow, but the policy is the same. And the policies are horrific. And my God, I mean, America's prison system, 2/3 of prisoners in America are either black or Latino. And most of them don't belong there in the first place. For nonviolent offenses in just societies, they would be quote-unquote guilty of misdemeanors, not rising to the level of imprisonment, maybe a slap on the wrist, maybe a warning, maybe a small fine, but not imprisonment, and for certain never long term. But America, with the largest prison system in the world, maybe 2.4 million, these people fill up prison beds, including privatized prison beds. The gross injustice, and not a word said about any of this stuff. Race relations are proven in America. It's exactly the opposite, Larry, and you know this firsthand. It's a horrific situation, and it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. I don't know the answer to this. I hate to see people rise up violently to change the system, but it may come down to the fact that if people don't act in that way, they're never going to see things improve. They'll only see things get worse. This is the stuff that revolutions are made of.
Right, and people are responding and or reacting out of total frustration with a hypocritical, lying political system and a hypocritical, lying media system, vomit stream media system. And so the reaction is one of utter frustration. All right, I myself definitely am not pleased to see quote-unquote violence. But let us also understand that violence is being perpetuated, as Dr. King said before they assassinated him. He said that the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today was none other than the U.S. government. It has gotten even worse. It has become even worse since Dr. King was assassinated on April 4th, 1968. We have to understand that the way, and I keep saying this, yes, the way to change this is systemically and structurally. We simply cannot afford to continue to be divided over color, because color is only one component. Yes, white people are also negatively impacted by this filthy, despicable, unjust so-called justice system. I call it the system of injustice. But we must honestly admit that indeed blacks and black and brown people are disproportionately negatively impacted by this despicable system. We have got to stop it, because it affects us all. And again, I keep drawing the parallel. I think about the over 4,000 people who have been murdered in you know, southeastern Ukraine. I think, and that doesn't even include those who are not found, those who are unaccounted for, those who have been tortured, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we have a policy. This country, this government has a policy of torture. It's okay to torture. It's okay to commit cold-blooded murder. Well, if it's okay to be done in Afghanistan or Iraq or Syria or Pakistan, then why wouldn't it be okay to be done here inside the United States? We've got to make that link. Again, I repeat Malcolm's words, the chickens are coming home to roost. And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe people will begin, more so than ever before, to understand that all the scumbags, be they Barack Obama, Joe Biden, John McCain, any of them, that these people are nothing more than basically war criminals, bloody war criminals, both at home and abroad, So I want all of my brothers and sisters, my sisters and brothers, be they black, white, brown, red, or yellow, I want all of us to draw that connection, so we understand that our internal policies are a reflection of our external policies and vice versa. I'm sorry to keep harping on that, but I think that's very, very, very important. And, you know, no matter what, whether this young man, Michael Brown, had done what the police are saying he had done, I doubt it strongly. But let's assume, for the sake of argument, that he had. Does that mean that the sentence, therefore, should be 6 bullets in his body? Does that mean that he, therefore, should have been executed? I say emphatically, no, it does not. We need to come to our senses, whether we're dealing with, I don't care what color we're dealing with. We better come to our senses and understand what this system is doing. Right now, the media and the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons and Barack Obamas and all the rest of these, I can't even use the word on the air that I want to describe them as. So I'll just say all the rest of these so-called humans are engaging in, their actions are actions that are hurting all of us, all of us. And we've got to wake up to it. We've got to understand that despite the fact that black and brown people are disproportionately, okay, negatively impacted, we're all impacted, all of us. And if we don't take care of home, see, that's another reason. We don't have any business running around the world talking about democracy. What democracy? We don't have a democracy here. What democracy? And then to have this blood-curdling, war-mongering, hypocritical, double-talking Barack Obama stand up. He's nothing but a tool for the power elite, a tool for the corporate bloodsuckers. To have him standing up and trying to tell people what they should or should not do, why, that is absurd. It is an insult to our very humanity.
It certainly is, Larry. In the article that I wrote, I quoted a number of sources, including the ACLU, a statement by Amnesty International USA, a statement by the chairwoman of the Congressional Black Caucus. The best one came from the Center for Constitutional Rights. It's not that long, Larry. Let me just read what they said. It's their executive director, what he said. Where is my spot? Bear with me just a moment. Vincent Warren, executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, he said, quote, "It's difficult to see how anyone in the community can have faith in the system at this point. The failure to indict sends a clear message that it's open season on people of color. All resistance must be viewed through that lens, and the focus must remain on the injustice of a white police officer getting away yet again with killing a young, unarmed black man. We stand with the community in anger and in mourning. We stand with the people in the streets of Ferguson, just as the world stood in protest in Egypt's Tahrir Square, in Gaza, and elsewhere." Those are powerful words, Larry.
They are. They are, and they're absolutely right on point. I'm so glad that he made that connection. You know, he made that connection to external as well as internal, because, again, it's a reflection. Our policies are the same, and we need to wake up to that. Yes, that was very powerful. Who was that who wrote that? You said Center for Constitutional Rights?
Executive Director. His name is Vincent Warren.
Okay. Wow. It was, yeah. Well,
you can go right to their. You can go to their website, Center for Constitutional Rights, and you'll see the statement right on the website. I was delighted. I checked it right away, seeing if they had enough time to make a comment. I couldn't imagine they wouldn't. But early this morning, I wondered whether it would be up on time. Well, it was. They got a statement up. It wasn't. They'll probably come back with some more. But they got that statement up, and it was important for them to say that.
Yes, yes, yes. What I like the most about the statement. Is that, you see, I see he said, you know, we stand in solidarity, we stand together, and this is important. This is, we have to be in solidarity with each other. You know, I have mentioned on I don't know if on this show or other shows or a combination thereof, but I've mentioned, for example, the case of a young white man, I believe he was 21, if that, but I believe he was 21, university student. His name is Brandon Ellingson, who was also essentially just murdered differently. He was drowned by police, as it turns out, in none other than the state of Missouri. But this is not just Missouri. This is the entire country. That's why people are enraged right now. In Cleveland, Ohio, in New York, where specifically in New York, where a young man, a father, was just shot, blown away. He had done nothing wrong. He was with his girlfriend and or fiance, walking out of the apartment, and was just blown away. Okay, by a trigger happy cop. Okay. It happened that the cop was white, and I don't condone it. I don't care who does it. I don't care if it's a black cop, a white cop, a brown cop. You know, this is why I go back systemically to the thing of we need to change structurally and systemically this entire messed up, despicable, hypocritical system. But I love the statement. I'm so glad you shared that, the statement by the gentleman from the Center for Constitutional Rights.
Larry, I must add that I don't believe Michael Brown did anything at all. As you said, if he committed a robbery or some kind of a crime, it does not give the police license to gun him down in cold blood. The Constitution guarantees due process. It prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. Of course, nobody pays attention to those things. They're right in the Bill of Rights, but nobody pays any attention to them. But I don't believe Michael Brown did anything, because the police lie systemically. They do it all the time. In the case case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, they planted a gun, a cop planted a gun, claiming that he used it to kill the police officer in Philadelphia, which he did not. But cops pull this kind of stuff all the time. So whatever the police say, when you get an incident like this, you have to take it with a grain of salt and believe exactly the opposite is true. But again, Michael Brown deserves to be alive today. And if he was a white kid, he would be alive today.
Yes, and that's the point is. The point is that he deserves to be alive, not dead. And you know, his death, when he was killed, a part of all of us, you know, went down. A part of all of us was murdered, okay? And until we understand this, until all of us, again, I emphasize, regardless of our color, until we understand that every time these things occur, and they occur every single day, by the way, every, as you may have mentioned, I believe you mentioned already, this occurs constantly, something like every 27 or 28 hours, the police are murdering someone, okay? But I'm so glad you brought up the thing about the Bill of Rights, about due process. These are things that are swept under the rug unless you are a rich, blood-sucking corporate vampire, you know, hurting people of all colors, okay, committing acts that are really literally destroying people's lives and livelihoods. Now, if you're that, why, you can expect that all of your constitutional rights are going to be applied. You're going to get due process. And even if you're convicted or found guilty, you'll get a slap on the wrist, if that, if even that. So something is very, very, very wrong with this system. And we, the people, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, we, the people, are the only ones from the bottom up, we're going to change this system. And I'm not talking a bunch of damn Democrats or a bunch of damn Republicans, all right? I'm not talking about them because they don't represent the people. I'm talking about just plain, ordinary, everyday people, populace, if you will, who say enough is enough. And it truly is enough.
Yeah, if people don't demand their rights, they're not going to get any. Larry, you and I think, remember the civil rights riots, reactions, resistance back in the 1960s. I sure did. I wasn't in a particular city. I lived in a few of the cities that they took place in, but I wasn't living in them at the time the violence took place. I was in Pittsburgh for a while. After I moved out west, the violence erupted. I came to Chicago, but it already had its eruption before I arrived. I never saw it firsthand, but I certainly read a lot about it. And then when I began writing, I wrote about it. This was anger boiling over justifiably. It boiled over in the black community. I mean, the black community was the victim. It should have boiled over in the white community. Because Ferguson in Missouri, majority black, and it's a shame to see a black businesses targeted or whatever the targets were. Go after the establishment any way possible. Again, I prefer nonviolently, but it's a system that needs to be attacked and addressed. Not the victims of the system, but they're the ones that usually pay the price. But I remember this very, very well. We could be on the cusp of something like this happening again, where cities will burn because of injustice that goes on. When it goes on long enough, Larry, as we know, it literally reaches a boiling point and things boil over, they explode, and people simply can't take it anymore. But what we need to do is to change the system, as you strongly say. If we don't change the system, you can quiet things down for a while, but it'll just happen over and over again. Again, killing black kids, mostly young black, white kids, Latino young kids, mostly male. This stuff goes on. It really ever gets reported. We're talking about cold-blooded murder. And as you pointed out, so true, we commit violence abroad. We commit violence at home. America has a culture of violence. It really is a disgraceful culture. It's been going on for hundreds hundreds of years. You don't change this overnight. But if something isn't done to address this and start fighting a corrupted, violent system, it'll just keep getting worse and worse. So maybe instead of one black or Latino kid being killed a day, it'll ramp up to two or three a day. I mean, there are weekends in Chicago, Larry, where maybe a dozen murders take place. It's usually black on black, maybe a few cops killing black kids. And the only time this ever makes headlines is when the number of killings is so large that you simply can't avoid not saying something about it. But every weekend in Chicago, practically, I don't know about every weekend, but many weekends in Chicago, you see black kids being killed. Not a word in the media. And if there is a word, it's on a back page with maybe three or four lines where nobody even notices it.
Right, right. And, you know, this again goes back to, I'm glad you used the example of Chicago, because what we have there is what I call systemic insanity. Systemic insanity. Here we are talking about stopping ISIS, and I don't mean you and me when I say we, but this government that claims to represent us, stopping a monster that they themselves, by the way, created, as you well know. And there is an elephant, to use the metaphor, an elephant in our own living room, if you will. And that elephant is a corrupt, decaying, archaic, hypocritical system of injustice. And this affects, it's across the board. I mean, it's not only the militarized police, which make things even worse, but we have to really, in this country, we must begin to be blatantly honest with ourselves and with each other, because that's the only way we are going to be able to change systemically, to change this system, to change it structurally. We don't need any rhetorical BS from Barack Obama or from John McCain or from Boehner or from any of these serpent politicians. We don't need that. That's not what it's about. As a matter of fact, the less said from them, the better, because they themselves are fostering these horrible conditions both within the United States and outside of the United States. So I think that that's where we need to honestly begin. It's a challenge. But you know what? If we don't face that challenge, this country will deteriorate. It's already deteriorating, but it will deteriorate from the inside out. And who will pay? Who will be the victims? Why, everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red and yellow, struggling people, just everyday people will be the victims. We're already the victims. So we've got to stand up. We've got to understand that whether we like it or not, as we used to say back in the day in the Black Panther Party, whether we like it or not, we have got to take the appropriate and creative actions to change this fascistic system. There'll be people who are like, oh, it's not fascism. Well, it is fascism. It's exactly what it is. Okay? If anybody would look at the definition of fascism as it is applied on both the corporate and state level, we are deep, deep in the throes of fascism in this country. And you know, the current nominal fascist leader of this country happens to be this colored guy. And I use that word deliberately, because black, it means more than a color. Black is a certain consciousness, as Nina Simone used to say when she was alive. So this pawn, this tool, this war criminal, Obama and his Democrat and Republican minions are fostering this. And we have to understand that. Stop believing the hype. Stop believing the nonsense. Stop believing in the vomit stream media. Stop it. Create our own media. And that's what we're doing throughout the country and indeed throughout the world. But we have to intensify. We have to intensify. And I agree with you that it's very painful. It saddens me deeply. I don't want to see blood running in the streets. I repeat, I do not want to see that. But you know what? Sometimes people feel they have no alternative. Our job, our task, Our challenge is to make sure that there are other viable alternatives out there for everyday, ordinary, struggling people of all colors, and in so doing, change in a real sense. I'm not talking about this hope and change baloney that Mr. Kill Less Drone Man Obama talks. I'm talking about real systemic change brought about from the bottom up by everyday people.
Larry, unfortunately, we don't have a Dr. King around today. We really need someone like that so badly, including his incredible eloquence. I never heard a more eloquent speaker in my life. And the problem, of course, is if someone gets to be too effective, Malcolm as well, and Malcolm didn't last as long. They certainly got rid of him years before. Well, when was Malcolm killed? 1963 or two?
65.
You remember the year?
65.
65.
Yeah.
We're just three years before Martin.
Right.
So really,
right.
Really, not too far apart. But when somebody gets that effective, of course they're endangered. The system just gets rid of them. That's what happens. But nonetheless, Malcolm made an impact. Martin made an impact. We need leaders like that around today, and we don't have them. Without that, we see this stuff going on, and again, it just seems getting worse and worse. A topic that I revisit all the time, Larry, are victims of U.S. injustice, whether it's political prisoners or young people who've been murdered. Over a year ago, I wrote about Trayvon Martin down in Florida, murdered by George Zimmerman, a community guard, and he got away with cold-blooded murder. But really, ever does a cop or a security guard or anybody performing that kind of duty, really ever are they brought up on any charges at all? And if they are, it would just be slap on the wrist stuff that would amount to nothing. They don't put these people in prison for killing people, especially if they kill black or Latino young kids. And of course, this is what's wrong with the system, and it goes on and on. And very rarely do you get something as high profile as what's going on in Ferguson right now. Things exploded back in August, and now they continue again. I think everybody realized if the grand jury came down with this decision, we will get an explosion on the streets. And the decision didn't surprise me in the slightest, Larry. This is what I expected. It would have been a horrific surprise to me if the grand jury decided any other way. Let me just say briefly, I wonder how many listeners understand the way grand juries work in America. They were originally established for federal crimes. They were expanded by the Supreme Court to include state and local crimes. The prosecutors control the system. They decide the way it'll be structured. They can pick the the so-called jurors on the grand jury. There's no set number. They can vary from a dozen. It could be 20 sitting on the grand jury. But the prosecutors control everything. They do all the questioning. The lawyers can't even defend their own clients during a
right.
grand jury hearing. It's an outrageous system. Talk about an unjust system, Larry. There's no justice in a grand jury. I don't understand why an honorable Supreme Court down through the years did not banish grand juries entirely, because they're so easy to rig for the prosecution to assure no justice whatsoever. And that's exactly what happens over and over again. And that's what happened in the case of Michael Brown. The system was rigged. The jury heard the evidence the prosecutor wanted to present, fake evidence, stuff that never happened, like Brown challenging the officer or grabbing for his gun or whatever the heck was said in that secret hearing, because the hearings are secret and the information isn't made public. It's a crime to make the information public unless a judge or somebody gives you the right to do it, which I guess is very rare. So again, the prosecutors rigged the system. They manipulated the way they want it to come out. When they want somebody convicted, that's the way it's going to happen. When they want somebody exonerated, it's usually a conviction. But when a cop goes up in a grand jury case and they want an exoneration, they rig it to be sure an exoneration takes place. And again, we never know, Larry, exactly what went on. But what we do know are the facts that go against the prosecutor's case. They never come out in the open hearing, the secret hearing without counsel for the other side, even having a chance to explain things and represent his or her client. And the members of the grand jury can ask questions What good it does, I don't know. After all the testimonies are given, but I think, again, Larry, the prosecutor can decide who give testimonies and who will not give testimonies. What a system.
Yeah, and it's so blatant. It's blatant for those who are aware of what the so-called grand jury process is about. I would submit to you, Stephen, that the vast majority of Americans have no idea of what a fascistic, and I do mean fascistic, think about it, process a grand jury is. When a grand jury is basically a rubber stamp for the prosecutors, that's essentially what it is. If a prosecutor, as you said, if they want a conviction, then they present evidence to get a conviction. If they don't want a conviction, then they simply present evidence that will ensure that no conviction is obtained against the in this case, we're talking, for example, like about the Michael Brown situation. But there are hundreds, if not thousands, of other situations that reflect exactly the same kind of fascistic approach. I mean, people really need to study what grand juries are. I'm glad you brought that up. I want to say very quickly, too, that in addition to needing more Malcolm X's and more Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s, we need more John Browns. Go back and, I mean, one of the things that impressed me as a very young man when I was studying the life and times and works of John Brown was that John Brown, before they hung him, before they executed he and his three sons, John Brown stood up in that courtroom and he said, you know what, and I'm paraphrasing obviously, but he said, I'm not doing this. He was an abolitionist, of course, abolition of slavery. I'm not doing this simply for black people. He said, I'm doing this for my own humanity, for my own humanity. I must do this because my own humanity is at stake. We need more John Browns, too. We need more people to understand that our own humanity is at stake. That's why we've got to get rid of this despicable system. I mean, look at what we're doing to ourselves, to each other in this nation, not to mention what we're doing around the world, around the world. I mean, it's only we can change it. When I say we, I mean just the everyday ordinary people. Only us, no one else.
I agree with you so totally. The greatest heroes are the ones who put their bodies literally on the line for justice. That's why I respect the people I call freedom fighters in southeastern Ukraine, the so-called Donbas area, Donbas region, Donetsk and Lugansk. I mean, these people literally put their bodies on the line. I just imagine ordinary people who began with nothing more than light arms put their bodies up against the Ukrainian military. And the way that they got heavier weapons was that a lot of the Ukrainian military forces did not want to be fighting their own people. A lot of them just left their weapons, dropped them, either crossed the border into Russia or went home and said, we want nothing to do with this. There were mass desertions in the Ukrainian military. So the freedom fighters got tanks, they got other weapons, and somebody had to be there to teach them how to use them. But the important thing for me was that these people continue to put their bodies on the line. A lot of them have been killed, but fighting for rights that everybody deserves, that is the best definition of courage that I know. And they continue to do it, and they're going to have another big battle on their hands. I've written about it a few times, and I'll revisit it because the Ukrainian military is getting ready for what I believe will be a bigger genocidal war than the one they've already waged. But this stuff goes on again and again and again, supported by America to advance its imperium. It's going on in Ukraine, supports Israel in its genocide against Gaza or genocide against Palestinians. You can name one example after another. And in America, Larry, again, a topic I revisit all the time, of victims of U.S. injustice, whether they be political prisoners, whether they be people like Michael Brown murdered by cops with no justice whatsoever. There'll be no justice in Michael Brown's case. Or over a year ago, the case of Trayvon Martin murdered by George Zimmerman. Again, no justice at all. There's commotion for a while, but there's no resolution. And the stuff just goes on over and over again with no laws. Congress doing nothing to stop this. There could be laws enacted with teeth, Larry, as we know, that would really, really put a stop to some of this stuff, where there could be serious civil rights violations with actual teeth, where you have a government in Washington not tolerating this kind of stuff. And if the local authorities won't do anything about it, then the federal government would. But, of course, this kind of system does not exist.
That's right. I mean, let's face it, in these cases, the federal government, Eric Holder, representing the Department of Justice, so-called justice, which means that this is Obama's man, worked closely with, I repeat, worked closely with the prosecutors of the grand jury. I mean, it was rigged right from the beginning. Now, I hope all people, and in particular black people, black Americans, wake the hell up and understand that they have been, as Malcolm would say, bamboozled, hoodwinked. We all have been. But I hope that more and more black Americans wake up to see how they have been and are being bamboozled and hoodwinked. And those so-called liberals out there of all colors, but especially I'm talking about so-called white liberals, wake the hell up and understand how you have been bamboozled and hoodwinked, okay? And, you know, systemically, I keep saying systemically, if we do not change the system, we everyday ordinary people, it will not be changed, period, okay? There will be no justice, period. And if I don't get justice or you don't get justice, none of us gets justice. It will continue to worsen. And as you also said, you know, my brother, the reality is that these things just, for a while there's a flare-up and then it just goes away, okay? Well, it goes away because that is precisely what the corrupt, despicable, sickening system counts on. Oh, they'll get tired. It'll go away. And, of course, the corporate stream, vomit stream media never tells the truth in the first place. If you want to know what's going on, really going on, take what they say, if you must look at them, and reverse it, and you'll be much closer to the truth. And that's whether it has to do with internal realities in this country or whether it has to do with realities outside of the country. If you must pay attention to the corporate stream media, take what they say, reverse it, and you'll be much closer to the truth.
Oh, indeed, Larry, and indeed, injustice to anybody is injustice to all, and it reminds me of going back to Nazi Germany in the 1930s, the famous quote by Martin Niemöller saying, I don't have the sequence of what he said, but saying first they came for the Jews, and then they came for the labor supporters, and then they came for the communists, and they came for the human rights workers or whatever, and each time he said, well, you know, it wasn't me, so I didn't pay any attention to it, and the final line was to the effect that, and then they came for me, and there was nobody left to defend me. That's exactly what's going on. They go after some groups, and then they go after in this country, in America, and then they go after other groups. And if people don't take a stand and stop this stuff, then one day they're going to come after you. They're going to come after you, and there'll be nobody left to defend you. If anybody wants to read about how grand juries work and how they're rigged to manipulate the system, read my article. It's on my blog site, Steve Lindman Blog, Systemic Injustice in America, and you see how grand juries work. But again, if we don't change this system, maybe we're all doomed in the end because fascism will go after everybody except the elites in the country. If people want a country like that, if they want to live in a country like that, all they have to do is sit back and do nothing, and their kids will inherit it if they're too old to worry about it. But this is the way things are now. This is the way they're getting worse. I just dread what's going to happen in a few years, or maybe a few years longer than that. We're basically a fascist country today, as you point out, Larry, and we're heading on a fast track for absolute full-blown tyranny that could end up as bad as anything in Nazi Germany if a way isn't found to stop this.
Yes, and you know, why it would be even worse, far worse, frankly, than anything in Nazi Germany is because this country possesses thermonuclear weapons. This country is like an octopus with tentacles reaching all over the globe, all over Mother Earth. As horrible as Nazi Germany was, it did not have that kind of influence. It did not have that kind of power. This country does. And, you know, we are in, as we used to say back in the day, we are in the belly of the beast. I now say we are in the belly of 21st century fascism, and we better reverse it. We better reverse it, you know, and you know, it's wake-up time. This should be a wake-up call to all of us, all of us. This is not about Michael Brown, his innocence or his guilt. This is about cold-blooded murder, all right? That's what this is about. This is about the militarization of the police. This is about a corrupt system of a grand jury system. These are the things that this is about. This is about all of us. It affects all of us. We need to take action. We need more Malcolms. We need more Dr. Kings. We need more John Browns. We need women and men who are going to stand up like Fannie Lou Hamer did. You know, stand up. And as the example that you gave of what's going on in Ukraine, okay, these are just ordinary people. Well, what makes us think we're any better? We're no better than the people who are struggling and fighting for survival and their human rights in Donetsk or Lugansk. We're no better than them. As a matter of fact, if anything, we should be appalled at the fact that this government is behind the atrocities that are being committed in our name, okay? So we have got to stand up internally and externally to not just change it, but to reverse it. We need to reverse it. I am not going to argue with anyone about, whether Michael Brown was guilty or not. There's no doubt whatsoever that he should not have been murdered.
Indeed, Larry, two countries popped into my mind. The fact how easily democracies, I don't want to equate America to a real democracy because America was never a democracy and it never was designed from the beginning to be a democracy. It was designed to be ruled by the rich, the well-born, and the able. That's a direct quote from the second president, John Adams, and there were other quotes very similar to it, like the first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay, saying the country should be run by the people who own it. That's the way America was designed. But two vibrant democracies, the Weimar Republic in Germany, because of the disgraceful Versailles Treaty at the end of World War I, let it be transformed into Nazi Germany and all the horrors that followed, and the most vibrant democracy in the Western Hemisphere in Chile under Salvador Allende, and because of Nixon's support back in 1973, the first 9/11, September 11, 1973, that vibrant democracy was overthrown, and we got Augusto Pinochet for 17 years, a vicious, brutal tyrant. That's what happened with mass murder and all kinds of other abuses that took place over that period. And to this day, Chile is a very abusive country, affording its ordinary people no rights, whatever. So you go back to 1973 to today. What Nixon began still continues, not the Pinochet regime, but still an awful lot of injustice against ordinary people to benefit the elites of the country. And we see this so often. But vibrant democracies can be overthrown very easily and replaced by fascist dictatorships, certainly Nazi Germany, fascist to the core, Pinochet, fascist to the core, and America, as Bertram Gross, in a book he wrote maybe 30 years ago, said, when fascism arrives in America, it'll be wrapped in the American flag, and that's exactly the way it is, wrapped with the American flag, with it waving, but fascism by any other name.
That's right. By any other name, fascism. And, you know, whether we like it or not, and hopefully we don't like it, but we have to, you know, do everything we can locally in our own communities, as well as linking up to other local communities, as well as linking up nationally and internationally, globally, throughout Mother Earth. The struggle, for example, of the Palestinian people, that's our struggle. The struggle against the Israeli apartheid Zionists, that's against them. That's our struggle. The struggle of the people in Ukraine, in particularly southeastern Ukraine, that's our struggle. The struggle of the people who are fighting against the ridiculous U.S. embargo and criminal embargo against the people of Cuba, that's our struggle. I mean, these are our struggles. It's not them, it's us. And again, you know, I hope that we all look at what is occurring in Ferguson and New York and Cleveland and Oakland and San Diego. Like I said, it's an endless list that won't be missed. But when we think of those cities, let's also think about Afghanistan. Let's think about Iraq, Ukraine, Palestine, Syria, Libya, Somalia, et cetera, et cetera.
Larry, you took the words out of my mouth. You literally took the words out of my mouth. We're all Palestinians. We're all southeastern Ukrainians. We're all people of Cuba. We're all the people of Ferguson, Missouri, who've been abused. It's a vital statement to make, and you said it very, very well. It's important to stress because we are them, and what happens to them can happen to us, can happen to anybody, and it will if a way isn't found to stop it.
Right. Absolutely, my brother. Absolutely. I don't know what more to say other than I certainly want you to know that, you know, I love and respect you, as you well know. And I want to thank the audience that listens to your excellent show, and hope that the audience will get fired up, not just for a little while, but we're in this. We are long distance runners. We're not sprinters. We're long-distance runners. So, you know, I hope that the audience will share this show, and all of your shows for that matter, with people throughout the nation and throughout the world. I want to thank PRN, you know, Progressive Radio Network, and all the great people who make the show possible. You are a delight, my brother. You are a true delight.
Larry, I thank you so very much. I must say that even as an aging guy at age 80, my passion is doing what I do, writing articles, spreading hot truths, going on the air in my own program or when I'm interviewed, that happens a good deal of the time. And this is my passion, all of it pro bono. I don't expect anything more than I would like people to be aware of what's going on. Then they have to make the decision on what they want to do about it. You know the old expression, you can lead a horse to water. But people need to know what's going on. You certainly don't get it on propaganda TV or picking up your morning newspaper, whether it's the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times or most papers around the country, maybe a few small-town ones whose names I don't know. Maybe they do a better job. I don't know. They'll usually pick up the wire services, and they lie just like the major broadsheets. But this has become my passion late in life, and as long as my health holds out, this is what I want to do. And again, Larry, you repeat it, and I repeat it all the time. It's up to ordinary people to fight this system and change it, and people can do it. You mentioned the great quote by Margaret Mead, and I have, that ordinary people can change the world if they decide they want to do it, and it's the only way it ever happens. Quotes like community activists in Chicago saying, organized people can defeat organized money, indeed, if they decide they want to do it. But when people sit back on their hands and they worry about minutiae, insignificant things, whether it's sports events, whether it's the latest fashions, whether it's the latest films they want to see. This is nonsense. We're talking about their welfare, about their future, and this is the thing only ordinary people can protect, and they can do it if they decide they want to. It's been done before in America. We got civil rights. We got labor rights. We had other things that were accomplished. Some things that we ended slavery. My God, go back to the early 19th century. People would have thought you were nuts if you thought you could end slavery, but we did. Of course, it was replaced with wage slavery, but energy wanes, and people lose the benefits that they gain. But if people gain the benefits and maintain the energy, we could have a different country than the one we have today. I don't know that I'll ever live long enough to see it, Larry, but I certainly am dedicated to working for it every day.
Ditto. I don't know that I'll ever live long enough to see it either, but there's nothing better than doing what we have to do. As Frantz Fanon said, that we have a mission, we have an obligation to ourselves and humanity. So we have to fulfill that mission or betray it. One or the other. We can't do both. I urge myself and all of us to fulfill that mission. It's not easy. Nobody ever said it would be, but it's absolutely essential. Absolutely essential for all of us of all colors. Around the world, throughout Mother Earth, all of us, we can do it. We can do it. As a matter of fact,
Indeed, Larry. All of us will meet our end times. I could phrase it by saying one day I'll go down. One day I'll reach my end time. But I can guarantee one thing. I'm not going down on my knees.
I know that's right, my brother. I know that's right.
Larry, it was a wonderful discussion. We needed to focus on Ferguson today because of the news of last night. Very, very important. We'll address the other issues when you come back next month. I hope the holidays won't interfere with you coming back.
No, by no means the holidays. No way will they interfere. Are you kidding? No way.
Larry, I'll take a holiday when there's a reason to celebrate.
Right on, right on. Then we can have a holiday. But,
then we can have a holiday. We can lift a glass of champagne on this program and have a real reason to celebrate. But I see no reason to celebrate now, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Christmas, whether it's New Year's. And that's why my passion is on Thanksgiving Day, I'll be writing more articles. If somebody wants to interview me, I'll be available for an interview. I've been interviewed on Christmas Day, on New Year's Day. And if anybody has a radio or a TV program and they're listening to this right now and they're having trouble getting guests on days like that, give me a call. I'll come on any topic I know anything about, because it's important to do. I certainly won't be sitting around watching television.
No, nor will I. Nor will I. You know, there's work to be done. And I'm not saying that people can never smile or relax, but we have to understand that this is a continuous struggle. And you hit it right on the head. People have been programmed to pay attention to mundane things, you know, sports events, what's the latest fashion, what's Oprah saying, American Idol. That is mundane stuff, okay? The survival of our nation and of our precious Mother Earth is at stake. And let's smile and toast one another when we make some incremental victories. We may never, you and I, Stephen, may never see all come about that we are struggling to bring about. But you know what? Every time I stand in front of the mirror, every morning and at night, I can say, I'm fighting the good fight. And so are you, my brother.
Oh, indeed. I think at age 80, Larry, I won't be around to see change if it ever comes. I may be around to see Armageddon. I think there's a greater chance of that showing up sooner than changing America. But if we could find a way to change America for the better, I think we could change the world.
You're absolutely correct. I love you, Steve. Stephen, you take good care of yourself, my brother. And as we said back in the day, all power to the people. Keep on keeping on.
Absolutely, Larry. Thank you so much. Another wonderful program. Join us always for more of this, and always make it a regular habit.